Good morning, Steve Dales, Pet World, WGN Radio, where this past weekend I was on Good Morning America. I'll talk about that and how our dogs may have some separation anxiety when we do go back to work. We'll talk about the Beverly Hills Dog Show, presented by Purina. You know, I stood up and applauded when I read this, and I said, finally! You know, because I know, yeah, that's right, because Jody Whitaker, Executive Director of Chicago Alliance for Animals, and you're not alone. You have a whole team of volunteers who have been working and working and working and working and working to try to get this passed. And this is now where horse carriage rides are banned in our city of Chicago. And for those of you who say boo-hoo, I want to address that. I want to talk about that. But from my perspective, Jody, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I mean, this was a long time coming, and what you were able to do with data is, and also video, because it's not he said, she said, you actually had video of these horses working when they're injured, video of these horses working when it was way too hot, even by the standards that the operators created. This was way, and you were able to show the aldermen and women these videos and these reports, this data that you kept record of, and you convinced nearly every alderman to say, you know what, including in the wards where Michigan Avenue is, where most of the horses are most of the time, that this is just not right. So that's what I congratulate you for in turning around these opinions. But in the same time, I think you did a great job of educating the public of what really goes on here. Was that part of your goal as well?
Oh, certainly. You know, our goal is not to expect people to believe us or accept what we think is inhumane. We were down there. We videotaped the truth, and that's what it came down to. Is, you know, the laws on Chicago's books are very clear, and they're quite liberal in the sense that, you know, that they could only work 6 hours in a 24-hour period. There are other cities where the law, there are no laws on how long the horses could work. They could work them 10 hours. So Chicago's laws were clear, yet they would work them more than double what the law allows. So they'd be working them 12-plus hours. When we started our campaign in 2015, we got more pushback than we got in 2020, quite a bit more. People would say, leave them alone. There's nothing wrong with those horses being out here. And then, you know, when people started finding out that they were overworking them and that they have no access to grass or pasture, everybody's, you know, opinion started to change.
Yeah, you know, so for many of us growing up, you know, it was this romantic notion of taking a horse-drawn carriage ride. I think that is no longer considered the case because these animals are being abused. And what you did is you said, finally, you got City Hall in Chicago to say enough is enough. Now the question that I'm getting, Jody, as I'm sure you well know, is, all right, what happens to the horses that are there? What happens to these working horses? Their careers are over. That's a good thing, the forced retirement. But what happens to them now? What about their welfare?
Well, that is the second phase of our campaign, is to get these horses to safety. We have already started doing outreach to sanctuaries, rescues, farms, and independent homes who might be able to take a horse or two. Now, our goal is to work with them to fundraise, to reach out to those celebrities who might have an affinity toward horses and who might have more money than the average person to donate toward this cause. And we will do everything we can to raise awareness and raise money to get these horses to safety should the owners want to retire them. Now, what it comes down to at the end of the day is horses are considered property. So what happens to these horses is completely up to those who own them. If the owners cannot afford to care and feed for them properly, and should they want them to get to a safe forever home, that is where we come in, and we want that to happen. Now, obviously, these owners of these companies don't like me or Chicago Alliance for Animals very much. But, you know, hopefully we hope that they do love their horses enough that if they can't, if they are going to be, obviously, you know, we've ended this trade in Chicago. And our goal, you know, was not to put anybody out of work. We do understand that. But, you know, again, it comes down to the fact that they were breaking the law hundreds of times every year. And so we want to help these horses. And you know, we just want to get them to safety. We want to work with the owners. So that's our ultimate goal. But, at the end of the day, the owners have complete decision on what happens to these horses.
Well, the horses are not going up. They're not working now because of COVID-19. Two questions here at once. When does this law kick in? As I understood, it was they can go once the COVID things, once the horses are allowed to work again, they can until the end of the year. Is that right?
Right. Uh-huh. They have till the end of the year to, you know, as long as they're allowed to be out working when, I guess, the mayor or the governor gives the green light. But then as of January 1st, they can no longer be working on Chicago streets.
All right. So right now, do you have any sense, and you may not know, about the welfare of the horses because these operators have no income coming in because of COVID? Do you have any clue whatsoever? And also their welfare of where they're kept, which is not, in some cases, as far as I know, under the best conditions.
We don't really have any, you know, answers to those things. I wish we did. But again, they don't communicate with us, and we understand that. We do know that the one stable in Chicago, which is on like Clybourne and Fullerton, which is not what you would think is a stable. It looks like a little rundown warehouse. We hope they're not there because those are, you know, that's in the city. Again, they have no access to grass or pasture. So we hope that they're out on farms and they're living the life the horse should live, a life of being free.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, we don't know.
Yeah. part of the ironic thing here is that, again, I need your direction here, but to my knowledge, it's the operators who help create the rules several years ago, of which they break all the time. And I want to make that clear, first off, and I want to also talk about what those rules are. You mentioned how many hours they can work, but you have video. We can actually see that these horses were sometimes working when injured, that these horses worked sometimes going many hours in the summer in very hot weather without water. And also, there really wasn't, the way the law was written, unfortunately, consideration for how hot it gets on asphalt, on concrete, and then with all the cars going by, it makes it even hotter. So can you comment on that?
Yes, definitely. The laws were written with the input of equine experts and veterinarians. So they're the ones, you know, animal advocates had nothing to do with the laws that were written to protect the horses and to protect the public, for that matter. And so the main animal welfare laws on the books are that the horses could only work 6 hours in a 24-hour period. They could not work if it was 90 degrees or hotter at Northerly Island, and they had to be provided rest and water at least once every hour. So when we started documenting this back in August 2017, the first day we did it, which was a Saturday, we witnessed every horse being worked more than double what the law allowed, so more than 12 hours. And when we called the police didn't know about the laws. You know, nobody knew about the laws because it was something that was never enforced. And when you talk about the temperature restrictions, it only takes into consideration the air temperature. It has nothing to do with the asphalt temperature or the humidity or the heat index or the fact that they're working on Michigan Avenue, not at Northerly Island, which is basically at Lake Michigan, so it's bound to be much cooler.
Yeah, and I brought that up because I want people who're out there, you know more than I do, who say, no, let the horses work. They've always been there. It's romantic and yada, yada, yada. I want them to know that this isn't a made-up thing, that these aren't a bunch of crazy animal people. Well, you might be a bunch of crazy animal people, but in a good way. Chicago Alliance for Animals, how can, if people are interested in pursuing the future of the horses that are there. How can people help?
They can reach out to me at ChicagoAllianceForAnimals@gmail.com. They can also look us up. We have a Facebook page. We're on Twitter, and our handle is at CHI Animal Rights. And they can send us a message. You know, if anybody is interested in helping the horses, they could reach out directly to the companies as well. I mean, again, these are animals that are owned by the companies. So, you know, we don't, CAA has no say in what happens to these horses. We will try our hardest to raise money and try to help them should they want to get them to a sanctuary or a rescue to live out their life as nature intended. But that's the most we can do, and we hope that people are going to be willing to help with this effort because we do want them to get to have a good life.
You know, I don't know what city it is because I can't recall, but there is a city that said, okay, we're going to ban these horses and we're going to subsidize and pay the operators for the horse's future, at least part of it. Do you see Chicago possibly doing that, or things are so bad financially because of everything going on that that's not a likely prospect?
You know, I don't honestly know because it wasn't part of the ordinance. When we met with the mayor's office in last fall, that was part of their requirement, was that if they allowed the operators one more year, that they would be required to retire them to sanctuaries. But then nothing was really followed through on that. So, but that was our, you know, ultimate goal, is that these, you know, we don't know how long some of these horses have worked and put in, you know, hours and hours on Chicago's hard pavement, but we think that they deserve retirement now. We hope that they're not sold to another company, another horse carriage operation, and worked in another city, or, you know, used and abused anymore. We want them retired, but, and that's what we're going to work toward. But again, we don't have the say on that.
Yeah, I understand. Jody Whitaker, Chicago Alliance for Animals Executive Director, thank you so much for everything you've done. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for giving me this time today.
We go Hollywood! Beverly Hills Dog Show information coming up next. It's coming up on NBC. And also about me on Good Morning America. Here he is, the intrepid. What does that mean? Mr. David Fry is here. What is that? What does that mean, intrepid?
I think it means not afraid to go anywhere and do anything. And I think that's hopefully what we do in our world. We bring you things you've never heard before.
David Fry is the broadcaster who, what was it? Best in Show. You were, in a sense, in that movie because it was really, you were the broadcaster that they were making fun of. Is that the right way to say it?
No, that was Fred Willard was the guy, and at the time, remember, my partner for Westminster was Joe Garagiola.
Yeah,
and Joe would wander off with some yogi stories every once in a while, and which was great. We loved that, but that's the character that Fred Willard mocked. And there's another guy, Jim Pittock, plays me, or the equivalent of me.
Uh-huh.
My mom, I got a call from my mom one day. Said, you know, they're going around the country. They're here in Denver promoting this movie. And with Fred Willard, and he says that he's partnered in the movie with some dull, drab, serious dog guy. I said, is that supposed to be you? And, yes, Mom, but I'd rather be that than what Fred Willard's portraying. So, a great movie. We love the movie. People still ask me about the movie. That's 20 years ago now.
I know. And, isn't that amazing?
And it's great fun. I think it's a great honor to be the object of satire by a group like Christopher Guest and friends. So, people always want to talk about that movie, and it was a fun movie for us. It didn't make fun of the dogs. It didn't make fun of the sport. They only made fun of the people. And as I like to say, we're kind of a target-rich environment in terms of the characters that are involved in our sport. But great fun for all of us.
And the movie was. And if there's a dog show somewhere, anywhere, that is televised nationally, it is this voice you're hearing that is behind the microphone for that dog show, Mr. David Fry, who's been doing this for a very long time. We are, in this case, talking about the Beverly Hills Dog Show. And we should make it clear, first of all, it's May 16th that it's televised. 7 o'clock on NBC.
May 17th.
That's what I said. 17th. Thank you. May 17th. Just testing you. May.
That's right. No, we switched over to the metric system. You might have gotten lost.
I've gotten lost years ago. So it was May 17th coming up. It'll be on NBC, 7 o'clock right here in Chicago. And I do want to point out, because I think it's important for people to understand so you don't get into trouble, it was taped well before the social distancing thing happened. I mean, some of these shows are taped. That one was taped, correct?
That's correct. But you're going to see, as we say, the premiere showing of the show. It's original programming, which... You know, unless you're into Korean baseball, and God bless them for playing baseball. I think that's wonderful. We want to get everybody playing baseball. But unless you're into Korean baseball, you're not going to see a live sporting event. And this is live to tape, but it's never been seen before. So we're excited to bring that to you on NBC.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. I mean, this is a sporting event, and it's a big-time dog show that also brings out Hollywood celebrities because it happens to be the Beverly Hills dog show. So it's, I've been there. It's a very fancy dog show. But you know what? The dogs participating in this case, I believe, are some of the most noted dogs in America, correct?
Well, we got three of the top five dogs in the country are entered. And there's a lot of great dogs from all over the country, too, that are number one in their breed, for example. But it's fun to have them there. It's fun to be competitive. The vagaries of dog shows are that, you know, every day is a different day. You got a different judge judging the same dogs each day. And maybe this judge likes your dog better today and the other dog better tomorrow. And that's kind of what keeps the sport alive, is that subjective part of judging, where it's up to an individual to interpret a standard that says what the dog's supposed to look like, that determines your winners each day. So it makes it fun from a competitive standpoint, and it brings out people who want to compete.
All right. I need to ask you this question, even though it's not fair. So you'll be broadcasting.
When have you ever been fair to me with this?
True enough. You'll be broadcasting with John O'Hurley. And I know that you and John are personal friends. You've been doing the broadcast with Mr. O'Hurley for quite a number of years. But before that, there were other people that you worked with broadcasting this show, Westminster, other dog shows, aside from John O'Hurley, because you're currently working with him. So aside from John O'Hurley, who I know you love personally and have a great relationship with, and I believe he feels the same about you, even though that's not what he tells me. But beside that.
But publicly, okay.
But beside that, who was your favorite to work with? Was it, we talked about Garagiola, was it Garagiola?
Well, Joe Garagiola was my partner for the longest time. I did Westminster for 27 years, and Joe was my partner for 9 of those years. I had something like 9 partners in 27 years, so I guess I must be hard to work with. But Joe was great because he was early in the mix at Westminster. He, I think, starting my 4th year, and Joe taught me a lot about the business, and he taught me a lot about our dog show. That the role that we want for my partner to play is the guy that's wondering the questions that the people at home are wondering, and he's asking me so that I can answer the questions, not just for Joe, but for everybody else who's wondering, what's the deal on that poodle haircut? You know, or what was a dog like this bred to do? How can a dog be that short and be a hunting dog? Things like that. So Joe was fun. He's my partner for 9 years. Mary Carrillo was the same way. I love Mary. She's my partner for 6 years of those times. I even had Lester Holt.
Yeah.
As my partner for 3 years.
Yeah.
So, and he's, you know, a lot of these guys that are news people or reporters, they're observers of the human condition, so to speak. Well, now they're observers of the canine condition, and they're asking questions like they might be asking in a regular interview or on the streets. So it's great fun having those guys with. Joe and Mary and Lester, those were the guys that I had the most. John and I have now been together all 4 years of Beverly Hills. We started that show 4 years ago in 2017. And we're coming up on our 19th year of the National Dog Show on Thanksgiving Day on NBC this fall. So it's fun. It's kind of like, you know, I tell somebody I've had marriages that didn't last that long. That's sort of an overstatement. But
yes, you better not say that. I know your wife. So these are, let's go back to the dog show. There are a lot of dogs competing. You already alluded to the fact that these are some of the best dogs in the nation. The numbers of dogs competing in this show, and I know you're not allowed to say who won the show, but who might be, maybe we look at a bit more carefully?
Well, we know for a fact, and it's no big secret, that the dog that won Best in Show here last year is coming back this year. That's Bono, the Havanese, the wonderful, beautiful Havanese. That's the number one dog in the country right now, or at the time of the taping anyway. I don't know anybody's keeping stats right now because there are not any dog shows going on. But,
yeah.
But nonetheless, we know Bono's going to be there. The fact that there's a big terrier specialty show, the Great Western Terrier Specialty, the day before means we're getting all the top winning terriers in the country there as well for our show on Saturday. And just because it's Southern California, it's a big dog show with lots of dogs and lots of potential points for dogs to win. They like coming to that dog show. We've got almost 2,000 dogs entered in just about 200 breeds and varieties. So,
all right. So
they want to be here. They want to be here. They want to be on television. They want to get to meet John O'Hurley, David Fry, maybe, Bo Derek, Maria Menounos, Brian Bumgarner from The Office, people like that, Olivia Coppo. Jeez, we had a nice lineup of celebrities this year once again.
And I know you're rattling off just a few, and a lot of them will also appear on NBC, along with the dogs, along with you and John O'Hurley, May 17th, 7 o'clock in Chicago, again on NBC. Mr. David Fry, thank you so much.
Steve, always great to be on with you. Best of my friends in Chicago, and, you know, go Cubs, go Bears, all that.
I hope so. I hope we get there. Thank you, David.
All righty. Thanks, Steve.
No one explained to dogs that we are now, after being home all the time, disappearing, poof, just like that. Why that is, they don't get an email with an explanation that our country is getting back to normal for them. What's going on? I liked that normal when people were home all the time. And we're seeing more separation anxiety in dogs. That is what I was on Good Morning America about, talking about. And there are things you can do right now, at this very moment, to prevent that from happening, or at least understanding if your dog has some anxiety, what you can do about it. But let's see if the dog has some anxiety in the first place. So set up a camera and leave. Go away. Put treats all over before you go away. See if the dog scarfs up those treats. And you can see what's going on with that camera. In fact, you could often it's connected to the phone, right? So you can watch it in real time and see what's going on with your dog. If your dog seems anxious, well, the good news is you can get in front of that problem right now. And there are some products that can help you do that. One is from Purina. It's called Calming Care. It's a probiotic, which makes perfect sense. A probiotic? But yes, it makes perfect sense because we know the gut and the head are connected. There's a pheromone product called Adaptil that helps dogs feel more comfortable in their own environment. It's a naturally occurring product. Zilkeen is a milk-based product. You know how great-grandma, great-great-great-great-grandma said, have a cup of milk and it'll help you calm down. You'll be able to go to sleep. Well, this doesn't make dogs sleepy, but it does help to calm them down. My favorite, and it's new technology, it's called the Calmer Canine. This is incredible. It looks like a little halo, and you hold it over the dog's head, or you have a vest that you could fit on the dog, so it holds over the dog's head. It emits electromagnetic waves. There's no downside to this, and what it does is it reduces swelling in the amygdala, which is where the problem is. I don't want to get too technical. Here is the easy part of this. It helps dogs with separation distress a whole lot. It's amazing. Again, that's called the Calmer Canine. Talk to your veterinarian about options that are appropriate, but the good news is you can get ahead of it now. Now, if none of these things work, which is unlikely, and they can be used in combination with one another, talk to your veterinarian about a psychopharmacological explanation. You know, in other words, using a drug that can help your dog. So the good news is you can do something about it. Get ahead of the problem. And I hope you consider doing that, because separation anxiety is certainly no fun for the dogs. It's no fun for us either, right? When you come home and you find destroyed pillows, etc. Next week on WGN Radio, you've heard about these wet markets in Asia. That's where the SARS virus that causes COVID-19 began. We're going to hear about our own version of these right here in Illinois.